When we set out to look at well-known First or Old Testament texts, ones that might not always make it in the preaching rotation, I could tell you I didn't leap for joy when Allison said that she had the perfect anthem for the walls of Jericho. I mean, it's pretty difficult to imagine a wall, an unjust wall, keeping those undesireds out, and see people rise up, raise their voices, seek to destroy the wall and all it stood for. It's just, never would we see a modern day example of how choosing one side over another makes everyone lose. I just didn't see it. I don't feel like the Israelites come off particularly well in this story. We can read this story as one that speaks of God's power and strength and protection, that nothing is impossible with God, that God fulfills covenants and promises. All of this is good, but we have to go far looking for justification for this conquest. Hidden amongst earlier texts, Genesis and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, are lots of references as to why Israel differs from the pagan and cultural practices of the time, many of whom are barbaric enough to warrant some walls coming down. And yet this isn't to say Israel is much better. As at a point in Deuteronomy reminds them, the Lord your God is not giving you this good land to occupy because of your righteousness, for you're a stubborn people. It only says the Canaanites were much worse. And yet when we think of the modern land struggle between Palestinians and Israelis, it's difficult to read this scripture in light of the countless lives lost over God's promises and how they've been interpreted. It's difficult to think how many have blown their horns, how many walls have come down, how many believed that they were in the right, how many lives have been destroyed, how the deep divisions of choosing one side over another has split this earth. So why do we read these stories? Because Allison had an anthem. No, we read them because they still have truth in them, but we have to get through a little bit first. If we're able to move past the historicity of the text, and the kids were starting to get there even today, Charlie leaned over and said, "Is this really true?" To which Brady said, "Did the buildings fall on top of them?" Like, the minute you start questioning and unpacking, it gets really, really difficult. But if we can turn this story a little bit and not look at it as God will smite those, but look at it as a metaphorical text, we all know how we can build walls around ourselves. We wall off ourselves from one another when we've been hurt, when we've been unable to find ways of dealing with difficult emotions, when we believe that it not only keeps others from hurting us, but from us from hurting them as well. Don't get me wrong, some walls are necessary. The walls we erect between work life and home life can ensure that we clock out. We need to devote dedicated time to things other than work. It's actually being written into law that people have the right to disconnect, to not have to answer emails after work hours. Call it a detriment of the modern society, but companies have been able to take advantage of this 24/7, always on culture to exploit their employees' need for employment. Workers have felt so powerless that lawmakers have had to step in places like France and now in New York to ensure boundaries are respected. Boundaries help define who we are and who we're not. As Christmas celebrations are still a recent memory, it's remarkable how we so easily slip back into familiar roles when we're with family or friends. We might pride ourselves on the years of growth we've put into establishing our own unique identity, but at least at my family gatherings, my little brother is my little brother. My mom is still my mom. Those walls of growth we've built around us seem to be painfully torn down as we slip into old patterns of behavior. It's difficult to acknowledge the brick by brick building that has taken place. Instead, we peer over the walls to interact with the person we are more comfortable remembering. And yet, in the same breath, It's so easy to hide behind the walls that we put up. It's easy to shut ourselves off from the world. As churches, we praise our brick and mortar, especially on days like today, because it keeps the cold out. But more so, we hide behind words like, it's never been done that way, or that's not a part of our denomination. Individually, it's easier to hide behind a tough exterior and non-conversation with those that we meet on the street. You know how easy we do it? We just slip into the pleasantries of every day, knowing that someone is going to ask you, how are you doing today? And you know you've got the answer right in your back pocket. I'm fine, how are you? Knowing that full well, if you tumble down those bricks of everything that's gone wrong in your day, let alone week, that poor cashier would be buried in the weight of all that you're carrying. Because no one has ever said more than a few passive words in response to that small talk question before. So we hide our true emotions from the world, or at least from those we don't trust deeply. Those who won't judge us for what we're going through. I think the truth of this passage is somewhere in the middle. We need boundaries and walls of definition, ones that remind us who we are and who we aren't, ones that protect us when we feel vulnerable, ones that shield us from harm. But I need to hear that God has the power to tear down those walls of self-denial and fear. That God has the power to reveal our true selves for one another. Ones based in who we believe ourselves to be and who God believes us to be. It's really interesting to note that before this passage, Joshua is referred to as both Moses' assistant and Joshua, son of Nun. And both terms fall away after this encounter with the walls of Jericho. Son of Nun comes back a little bit more, and Moses' assistant sort of trails off because Moses died. But all of a sudden, gone are how Joshua saw himself. Gone is how others saw him. Because in this instance, he emerges as a leader for this once wandering tribe of Israelites. God reveals what might be under the layers of self-preservation and history and fear. I want to hear the trumpets of God shaking the humanly built foundations that we've put around our lives, our faith lives, to make us think that we're better than one another, or maybe at least not as worse as someone else. I want to hear the divine proclamation that these self-conscious walls built on hurt and division have no place in God's world, that true healing is possible. If we're to hear a different understanding of the story of Jericho's walls, we wouldn't hear the story of one kingdom rising against the other, or the decimation of one people in favor of another, or even one faith against another. Instead, we'd hear the trumpet's call for each one of us as it rings in our ears and unsettles all that we've put in place to keep us safe. Mary Oliver, an American poet, recently died. And I'll admit, I wasn't familiar with her work. It's unfortunate that it took her death for me to hear her words, but I thank goodness for the wisdom that she shares, and I'll close with her poem called The Journey. One day, you finally knew what you had to do and began, though the voices around you kept shouting their bad advice, though the whole house began to tremble and you felt the old tug at your ankles. Mend my life, each voice cried, but you didn't stop. You knew what you had to do, though the wind pried with its stiff fingers at the very foundations, though their melancholy was terrible. It was already late enough and a wild night and the road full of fallen branches and stones, but little by little, as you left their voices behind, the stars began to burn through the sheets of clouds. And there was a new voice, which you slowly recognized as your own, that kept you company as you strode deeper and deeper into the world, determined to do the only thing you could do, determined to save the only life you could save. Amen.